Twice a month, TAG talks about current and critical topics of the food industry. To ensure you don't miss any, click subscribe now. Today, we're going to talk about what's worse than opening your mail to find a supplier invoice that has come in a bit higher than you expected. How about opening your mail to find a warning letter advising you of FDA's continuing concerns due to inadequate corrective actions that you gave in response to 483 inspection findings? So for today's TAG Talks episode, I, your host Lisa Lupo, would like to welcome TAG Senior Advisor Ruth Petran to discuss 483s, warning letters, and how to turn a negative into a positive. So welcome, Ruth.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm happy to be here.
Always love to have you. So can you start us off by providing some detail on the FDA 483s and warning letters, what they are and when one might be received?
Sure. Yeah, starting off with a 483, and this is named for the form that it's written on. And a 483 then is issued to the management of a firm at the end of an inspection to make sure that they're notified when an investigator has observed conditions that they judge that may constitute violations of the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, that's FD&C, and other related acts. These investigators are trained to ensure that each observation they note on this Form 483 are clear, specific, and significant. So those that are made in the investigator's judgment relate to conditions or practices that they saw that would indicate any food, drug, device, or cosmetic may have been adulterated or is being prepared, packed, or held under conditions where it could become adulterated or rendered injurious to public health. So this FDA 483 observation is a notice that highlights potential regulatory problems, while a warning letter is an escalation of this notice. So when FDA finds that a manufacturer has significantly violated regulations, they'll issue the warning letter by notifying the manufacturer. And this letter will identify the violation, such as poor manufacturing practices. It could be a claim for what a product can do or incorrect directions for its use. The letter makes clear that the company must correct the problem and provides directions and a time frame for the company to inform the FDA of its plans for how they're correcting it. They then will check to make sure that the company's corrections are adequate. So the 483 is not necessarily intended to be an all-inclusive list of every possible deviation, but it's a report which includes these observations of questionable or objectionable or things that they saw, but they'll use this together with other information that they will pull together. And then companies are responsible to take corrective actions to address the cited objectionable conditions and any related conditions that might not have been cited, but that might exist in the firm as well.
Okay. So how can a business that receives 483 citations from an inspection ensure that they are adequately corrected and don't come back in the form of a warning letter?
Yeah, that's really important. And it's also key to note that this Form 83 does not constitute the final agency determination of whether that condition is in violation of the FD&C Act or other regulation. And FDA will consider the 483 along with the written report that they put together called an Establishment Inspection Report, as well as evidence and documentation that they have collected, as well as any responses from the company. And then all of this information gets considered altogether to determine what action, if any, is appropriate to protect public health. So there's some basic things that companies need to do to respond appropriately to 483s or a warning letter. First of all, acting quickly. Responses are due typically within 15 days, And FDA expects that there's an effort made to determine the root cause of the issues, being as specific as possible. Against these root causes, they want a corrective action plan put in place with a realistic time frame. And in order to make sure that this is clearly communicated, it would be recommended to write a first draft, make sure it's clear, compelling, and thorough, and then work to finalize it. You want to include a cover letter from senior management that acknowledges the concerns that were cited, and try to anticipate what additional details the FDA might ask about. You want to cite supportive facts and data as attachments, and make sure, though, they're clear and easy to follow, because you may be giving the FDA a lot of information, so you need to connect it all for them. You want to give regular updates on how you're progressing to the FDA, and then be ready for possible re-inspections from the FDA as they may check on your progress.
So with warning letters being publicly posted on the FDA website, how might others in the food industry use those letters to assess their own compliance and improve their practices?
Well, I think what's really important is just to learn from others and try to avoid these same sorts of issues from occurring in your own facilities. So consistent reading of these publicly available documents can help you understand the level of the detailed scrutiny that FDA will have and the kind of concerns that are being raised. This can help firms to be ready to react appropriately if they discover similar types of issues in their firms. So I just want to highlight some examples I've seen that could be used in these ways. For example, the FDA this summer issued three different warning letters to infant formula manufacturers. In these, they stress the need to implement and maintain corrective actions when they detect pathogens, following root cause analysis procedures and an evaluation of cleaning and sanitizing. They also stress the importance of performing whole genome sequencing on any isolates of pathogens. And they also highlighted the need to alert the FDA when a finding of Cronobacter or Salmonella was found in a product, even if the product had not been distributed. These also can be issued for remote inspections as well. I saw a warning letter recently after a remote inspection was done of an overseas seafood processor. The FDA revealed that there were serious violations of the seafood HACCP regulations, including an incomplete hazard analysis that didn't have all the identified proper hazards. Corrective actions and critical limits were deemed inadequate, and monitoring was not being done. I've also seen many issues in general related to implementation of basic GMPs, things like sanitation or pest control. We all know that if these aren't corrected, they may result in significant food safety issues that can lead to recalls, but more importantly, to consumer illness or injury and more intensive regulatory scrutiny. So promptly addressing these kinds of issues that you might have in your facilities can help you avoid these public health issues for sure, but also prevent your getting a notice from FDA of some of these things going on in your own facility. So I think it's back to learning from others and applying what you can to your own facilities.
Okay. Sounds like a really great lesson there. So Ruth, how does TAG help businesses, you know, if they've gotten a 483 or a warning letter?
Well, the Atchison Group, or TAG, assists company in a number of ways. Certainly from the starting point of reviewing the 483 or warning letter to determine what the best kind of response should be. And then they can help, we can help with assessing operations based on these observations to help determine what corrective actions would be most appropriate. TAG can also act as a liaison with the FDA as needed if questions arise, and can even assist in writing of the response, compiling documents together, or drafting it themselves for clients.
That sounds great. It's I want to thank you for all the information and expertise you've provided here. And even, you know, knowing that TAG can be of assistance if someone does get a 483 or warning letter when they open their mail and get a surprise. So, and I want to thank the viewers for once again joining TAG Talks. Don't forget to subscribe to TAG semi-monthly talks to stay current on all things food safety and public health. Thank you. And thanks again, Ruth.
Thank you. Bye-bye.